awesome. Hallelujah. Thank you for being an awesome God, worthy to be praised. Father, we thank you for this great opportunity, Lord, to come out to your house once again. Lord, it's our privilege, Lord, to be ordained, chosen, to be here, hand selected. God, sometimes we act as though it's your privilege, but it's ours. God, the fact that you put it in our hearts to be in church today. God, we see millions that don't even have a mind to want to come to church on a Sunday. Lord, we thank you for putting it in us. Lord God, we know it's of you, Lord, to work, to will, and doing us of your good pleasure. We thank you for it. I appreciate you for that mind, for that desire. God, you said if there first be a willing mind. Thank you for the willingness, Lord. God, I believe you're going to reward us for it. In the name of Jesus, move in this place. Drive back every foul, evil, demonic power. Every spirit of darkness that will try to hold this service down. Lift up a standard. Let the liberty of God be present here. In the name of Jesus, that your word may flow. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that it will reach good ground. Lord, bring forth fruit according to your divine will. Let it be so on today, Lord. And we give you praise and honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a big hand clap as you be seated. Praise the Lord. God is good. And he's worthy to be praised. I heard the psalmist say, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, our God is worthy. And you know, all I got to do is inhale and exhale. I know God is good. And he spared my life many times. And I thank him for it. Do you thank him for it today? Praise the Lord. We do give honor to the Lord for all that he's doing. And these last two services have been great. And how God has moved for us. And we thank God for the invitation to be here, and we just count it a privilege to be chosen to be at this church. Praise the Lord. I know Sister Davis, and been knowing her a while now, everybody don't have the opportunity to be here. A lot of people would like to come up here and preach. Believe me, they ask me. They say, where are you going to preach at? I said, I'm going over to Winsfield, the Revival Center. I said, they said, well, you think, don't even ask. I said, because she got to know you, and I did recommend Sister Harvey to her, and I know she's a blessing to this house, but I don't just recommend any and everybody, because I know she's not going to let any and everybody come in. I feel the same way about Road to Life Church. You got to be careful who you put in the pulpit. Some people will come and tear the church up, and you, the pastor, got to be the one to put it back together. And, you know, that's a job. What they do in one night, yeah, one day, it'll take you months to try to put it back together. Praise the Lord. Pastor Davis knows what I'm talking about. It take you months. He said, Lord, what in the world? But all that do is tell you, don't let them back in. Praise the Lord. I had a brother, and I'm going to get on, but I had a brother come to my church one time, and we had preached together growing up. I'm not very old, though, but when I say growing up in my 20s, I'll be 45 tomorrow, and praise the Lord for that. And so in my 20s, late 20s, rather, I was preaching revivals, and these young men, we got together, and God just opened doors in Sparta, and it was like four or five churches for a couple months. We was going around preaching revivals every week, and the Spirit of the Lord was moving. People was getting saved, getting baptized with the Holy Ghost. People were getting delivered and healed, and God just was using us. And as we got older, I took over from my father after he passed, of course, and this young man who I was running these revivals with, you know, we preached together, so I felt like I could trust him to come and preach for me. Well, He came in the church, and he commenced to telling all the women that they look like clowns, and they, you know, makeup, and that they was wearing chandeliers. Y'all know what that is, don't you? Earrings. And, I mean, everything under the sun. And, you know, that's his conviction. I don't knock a man for their conviction. But you don't come to my house and rearrange my furniture. If that's the way I like it in my house, don't be telling me the chair is supposed to be over there and it's that plant is supposed to be there. No, you do that in your house. But as long as you come in this house, you follow the order of the house. That's what you're supposed to do. You don't come in another man's house. Well, the Lord gave me this. No, the Lord didn't give you that. You go out in the street and see if you can find some souls with that mess. And you ain't going to win no souls with it either. And so I told him, I said, well, that's it for you. I did. I told him, I said, that'll be the last time you come across this pulpit unless the Lord deal with me. And about a year or two later, he came to me. And he asked me, could he come back? And I told him, I told you no. He said, well, the Lord is going to get you for that. I told him, I said, who are you? I said, I don't see your name being Elijah, Moses, one of the prophets. I said, who are you? I said, I got so many ministers I could come and call to come and preach for me. What makes you so special? Well, that same brother got kicked out of the church he was attending, went to another church, got kicked out of that church. His family, they're moving from church to church. Now he finally got his own church. I said, that serves you well. Now you can beat them up and torture them. And you know, I don't believe that God made us Lord over his heritage. I don't believe that God, he give us to correct and to reprove, but we don't have the right to condemn. That God don't give us that. We're not, because the same way you go and talk to someone else, you got some stuff you got going on in your life. You got some stuff you need help with. So we must be careful, but I do thank God for this great opportunity. It is a pleasure every time I come here. And what I love, I was sitting over there and just thinking, and I'm not going to hold you a long time, I promise. I was somebody said, yeah, right. y'all know me, but I just this is my introduction, Brother Davis. I just had to do it. But I was just sitting over there, and as I was listening to y'all sing, y'all know why I can come here and act like I do, because it's just right at home. And I mean, the way y'all talk, you know, during the service and singing, you know, like Brother Al was telling Sister Jackie, you know, to be quiet. And she said, look at her shoes, and everybody looking at you now. You know, you know, I was wondering, did they get that on camera there? Praise. But you know, the thing about it is, that's the problem with a lot of churches. They become so stagnant, so routine, so religious, that you can't be right at home. So people come into church, sinners come to church, and they don't even know, should I raise my hand or not? Will somebody look at me the wrong way? But I just believe you could come to this church, it don't matter who you are, you feel so good, so comfortable. You could just raise your hands, you could put your hands together. I like how Sister Jackie just get up and run, just feel so comfortable about it. You know, you don't go everywhere and feel that liberty, that freedom. That's a testament to the love of God that's in this house, to the spirit of liberty that's in this house. I'm telling you what I know. I've been to many churches, and you don't feel that everywhere you go. You ought to cherish that, and you give God glory for it when you come in the house of God. You ought to thank God that I got the freedom that if I want to lift my hands, if I want to jump, if I want to yell, if I want to laugh, if I want to scream, whatever the Lord say, I can do it. I feel that liberty here to do what God says. And it's a privilege. And it's a testament to your pastor that she preaches that way and that spirit of liberty is in the house. And I wouldn't want to, I don't care. You could have a church of 3,000. 15,000 people, if I can't feel liberty, I don't want to be there. Hallelujah. You mean if I can't get up and shout and be like my brother in the back, walk around, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord. You know, he goes somewhere else, somebody going to take him to a corner somewhere and tell him, you need to sit down and be quiet. But here, he could get up and walk and talk and say, hallelujah. You ought to thank God for that. Some of us, we shouting and jumping. Some of us would take you to, some other churches would take you to the amen corner or to some room and tell you, you don't need to get too far out of order. But I thank God for a church that you could come and it's not out of order, it's in order. Paul said, if I'm beside myself, I'm beside myself as to the Lord. If I want to get crazy, if I want to jump, if I want to yell, I can do it. I feel the liberty of God in this house. I feel the freedom. I feel the Spirit of the Lord. For the Bible said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom. That's why y'all can testify. Hallelujah. That's why y'all can testify like y'all do. You know, you go to some testimony service, they got to pump and prime, and you got to pry people out of their seat. You know, you got to get that spiritual crowbar and say, come on now, get up out your seat. But I thank God for this church. I come here, all of y'all got a testimony. Everybody jumping up and testifying. Everybody got something to say for the Lord. That shows that the liberty of God is here, that you got something to say for God. Man, I was at a church not too long. It's a good church. But, man, the pastor had to call names out. A testimony service, he said, or the person leading testimony service said, since y'all don't want to testify, I'm going to call names out. Brother Flippo, stand up and testify. You know, that's, man, wouldn't that be something? They had to call your name out. But I thank God for a church, you ain't got to call nobody's name out. People popping up like popcorn. You wonder what, if I'm going to get my testimony in. I got everybody popping up at the same time. Lord, help me to get my testimony in before testimony service gets over. Lord, hold him a little bit longer. Don't let the brother come out and preach too soon, because I got to get my testimony. I got something to say, Lord. I've been holding this in all week long. I've been on my job holding this testimony here, but now I'm here. I got an opportunity. I got a chance to give God glory. The Bible said you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. You got something to say. Don't never let the devil close your mouth. Keep your mouth closed. Always open your mouth. You said, I don't know what to say. Open your mouth wide and God will fill it. You're going to have something to say for God. Always have a testimony. It's always in order. Churches now, they done X'd out. Get the praise team up here, and then people that just get to sit down and clap for the praise team. But I thank God for an old-fashioned church that still got testimony service. Because that's, I heard Brother Al said, somebody's testimony, you may hear me preach, and you get something out of it. But somebody might testify, and you get more out of that testimony. And I'm not ashamed to say it. You know, God move how he want to move. Somebody get up and tell you, man, I'm cancer free. Man, I'm telling you right now, that's a testimony. Somebody get up and tell you, man, I was blind, but now I see. Somebody get up and tell you, I had bills galore, everything was going wrong. I had all these bills mounting up, but I got a job, sister. They called me for a job. I got an interview and they gave me, man, somebody else could be sitting in the pew that don't have a job, but because you testified, you say, Lord, you have no respect to person. If you gave her a job, you gonna give me a job. If you gave him a house, I touch and agree. He gonna give me a house in the name of Jesus. And I don't know how y'all feel, but like me and Brother Al, I told the Lord, I want a new house and I want to build it from the ground up. I want a toilet stool that nobody else ever sat on. I want to get in a bathtub that I'm the first one to get in there. Oh yes, I told the Lord, I said, I want to testify about what you done for me. I ain't getting ready to shortchange God. Lord, you do what you want to do in the name of Jesus. So that's my testimony this morning. Praise the Lord. And I love y'all. I appreciate y'all, and I thank God for the hospitality that has been shown to me always. It's such great love, and just feel the peace of God here. And I love you all, and I thank God for you. And do bring greetings from Road to Life Church in Sparta, Illinois, 402 East Mound Street, 622-8661-844-34158.
So now you know our phone number, you know where we at. Praise the Lord. So you can contact us if you need to. Praise the Lord. I've said that so many times. If y'all come to Sparta, y'all don't have to have, we need to get the address, put it in the GPS. You got it. Praise the Lord. We love you. If you have your Bibles this afternoon now, we thank God for the moving of his spirit thus far. We're just looking for God to say some more things to us today. Praise the Lord. Y'all be patient with Sister Davis. Stand with her. She's singing that song. See, what song is that? Please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. God ain't through with her yet, so be patient with her. Be patient with her. Let God get through. When God get through, you'll know it, but God ain't through yet. You say, how you know God? Ain't you heard her preach lately? That should tell you God ain't through. God ain't finished. The anointing, God has let people know when he done. I don't think God retires nobody. Well, praise the Lord. God, if you got the preaching in you, if you stop preaching and say you get real old, I'm talking about like 150, and you stop preaching and somehow you be in the nursing home, you're going to have services in the nursing home. You have all the people roll up to your chair because the preaching is in you. You can't help yourself. The Bible said Anna the prophetess was old in age, and she attended before the altar daily with fastings and praying, waiting for the Messiah to come. No matter how old you get, there's still a job for you to do. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. We're going to stop right there. We know the rest also is the Lord defeating the enemy with his word. Deuteronomy chapter 8, this is the same scripture that Jesus drew from when he quoted that. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, I believe. Thank you, Jesus. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. The book of Proverbs. Y'all just bear with me, please, with my reading. Proverbs chapter 4, and then we'll end up in 1 Samuel 3 and just one verse there. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. 1 Samuel
First Samuel chapter 3. And I just want to draw a portion of a scripture as the title to the message today. And it's chapter 3 and verse 1. And the part that says, "And the word of the Lord was precious in those days." Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for this opportunity to stand before your people. God, I'm mindful of the fact that without you, I could do nothing at all to benefit, to help, to edify, build up, encourage this your people. But Lord, I also know that you said I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Strengthen me today. Word my mouth. Give me an in-season word. God, for your people, God, help me. Let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer. Speak out of me today, Lord, that I may be that vessel you called me to be, and that we all may be helped, healed, delivered. God, furthered on our journey, strengthened in our walk. In the name of Jesus, we need you today. Lord, we ask you for your guidance through this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Could you give the Lord a big hand clap? He's worthy, isn't he, of all praise. As I said, the topic, the subject is the word of the Lord was precious in those days. That let me know that there would come a time that the word would probably not be precious. In one of the minor prophets, the Bible spoke that there would come a famine, not of bread, but of the word of God. And I thank God for this church, as I said earlier, because I know the word is preached here. I have a kindred spirit, a like-mindedness with Pastor Davis. I don't fellowship with people who are not word people. I don't hang around ministers that don't have the word in them. You say, why? Because they can't tell me nothing. You say, that's a bold statement. Well, you need to get a little bit bold yourself if you don't feel the same way. If you can't give me the word of God, I don't want to hear from you. Because you may tell me something that sound right. But the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right to a man. But the end thereof are the ways of death. We got to be careful who we are around. I want to be around somebody that can give me a word, even if it hurts me. As Brother Al said, even if it steps on my toes, even if it has to correct me, give me the truth. Don't give me something watered down. Don't give me something just to appease me, to make me feel good about myself. But give me something that's going to lead me closer to Christ. And most of the time, and not most of the time, but all the time, if you're going to give me something that's going to lead me closer to Christ, it's going to be contrary to what my flesh wants. My flesh ain't going to say amen to that. It'll be my spirit, but my flesh is saying, if you're telling me the word says we need to fast and pray, my flesh ain't saying, all right, I'm not going to eat today. My flesh is saying, no, we're going to fight to the end. We're going to make sure you eat something today. You know how your flesh does. It's just like my flesh. But you need somebody to continue give you the word, continue tell you we're going to fast, we're going to pray, we're going to seek the Lord, we're going to call on the name of Jesus out of a sincere and a pure heart. We need somebody to continue to give us the truth. Don't give us something other than what God said. And the Lord began to deal with me about how his word is his covenant. And y'all know the last two nights I've been speaking about faithfulness and God's covenant. And God told me his word is his covenant, his agreement, and his promise to us. And it would do us all well to know what the agreement says. You ever signed something and didn't read it? And later on, after you signed it, they asked you a question. Well, didn't you know that the interest would double after a year or two? Or, you know, didn't you know your payment would go up? You know how they tell you for the first 60 days, you're going to pay such and such amount. And because you didn't read the fine print, you thought that was going to be the amount for the duration. But a year later, your payment doubled. And they say, didn't you read the fine print? Didn't you read the agreement? See, if you don't know what's in the agreement, then you're not going to be able to step into what God has for you. You got to know what the proclamation was. What did you sign your name to when you said you would be saved? What did you sign your name to when you said I'll be a part of the army of the Lord? What did you sign your name to? See, some of us thought that when we signed our name on the dotted line of Christ, we thought that there wouldn't be no more trouble. But if you would have read the fine print, you would have found out that he said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But then he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. If you read the fine print, you would have heard Brother Peter say when he wrote, think it not strange of the fiery trials which come to try you. See, some people think when they get saved, all your troubles is over. But if you read the fine print, you find out your real troubles have just begun. Your struggles have just begun. But my Bible said after you have suffered a little while, he will raise you up. But you got to go through some trials. You got to go through some times of affliction. You got to feel the pressure of the world coming down upon you. But once you feel that pressure, you know there's something on the inside of you busting loose, coming forth that tells you this won't last always. The same way you went in, the same way you're going to come out. If God allowed you to go through the trial, the same God that was in you, with you in the trial, he's going to bring you out of the trial. What did David say? Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death. See, some of us are in the valley right now while I'm preaching to you. You in the valley, but I'm here to tell you God going to bring you out of it. God going to spare you. God going to deliver you. Why? He's faithful to his word. His word is his covenant. It's his promise to us. And we talk, we walk, we think, and we live by the word of God. We live by the word. The Bible said in the book of Numbers, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said it, shall he not do it? Hath he not spoken, and shall he not make it good? He said, be ye mindful always of his covenant. The word which he commanded is to 1,000 generations. See, when God speaks something to you, God ain't worried about whether it's going to come to pass or not. God ain't looking at his word saying, I wonder if I can complete this. I wonder if I can really do this. I know every doctor said that they only got 60 days to live, but I gave them a word that they should live and not die to declare the works of the Lord. I wonder if I can keep them alive. I'm here to tell you, just like God caused the sun to come up today, and the sun is sitting out there on nothing at all but the faith of God's word. The same way we see this earth sitting out there in space on nothing but God's word. If God is able to hold the earth up, what can he do for me? What can he do for you? If God put all the stars in the sky, in the beginning he said, and bang, it had to happen. He's still saying it. If God said something, he's big, bad, strong enough to make it happen. Our God is awesome. He can move mountains. God is awesome. No matter what the trouble is, God is awesome. All you got to do is bring it to God and say, God, you said. You said it, Lord. Your word says it. I decree what your word says. I speak what your word says. You know, God's word will not return to him void. When God speaks a thing, it's going to happen. We got to be the ones to agree to it. We got to sign our name on it with our words. We got to say, Lord, you said it. And what you said, you're going to make it happen. Somebody get me Mark 11:23, if you don't mind. I'm going to get some audience participation. I need a reader, please. 11:23. Can I get my sister to read? Yeah. Mark 11:23. Okay, stop right there. Now, who, raise your hand if you are a whosoever. You know what a whosoever is? It's a whosoever. That just means anybody. Anybody who have the audacity and the boldness enough to say, I'm a whosoever. So that scripture, you can say, verily, verily, I say unto you that David, if David shall say, put your name in the whosoever. Put your name right there. Stop looking at whosoever like it's somebody in the Bible days. Like it's somebody some way back when Jesus was walking there. The whosoever means you and me. Put your name there. That if I shall say, if I say it, somebody scream, I, me. If I say it, it's got to happen. If I say it. That whosoever, if I say, if I say, that if I say, read please, keep reading. Now go back, say I, that I shall say what? Unto what? Unto what? Unto what? Unto what? Unto what? Unto what? This mountain. What mountain do you have in your life? You got to talk to the mountain. What tribulation do you have? What struggle do you have? What problem do you have? Is there any problem too big for God? Is there any situation too hard for God? Say unto the situation. Say unto the mountain. You say, I'm getting a little old in my body. Say to old age. Good God Almighty, you ain't going to keep me down. I might be getting a little older. I might be walking a little slower, but I hear the Bible say, he going to restore my youth like the eagle. He going to give me fresh strength. Speak to your situation. Whatever's holding you back, say something to it. Speak the word to it. Say what God said to your situation. Oh, it's all up here. No wonder y'all was looking. Say unto the mountain. Say unto the mountain. You got to speak it. Closed mouth don't get faith. Squeaky chain gets the oil. You got to say something. You got to speak the word. What did that centurion tell Jesus? When he came, Jesus came to him. He said, my servant led at home, sick of the palsy, grievously ill. And the Lord said, I will come and heal him. He said, you ain't got to come. I know you got authority. I'm a man under authority just like you are. I say to one servant, go here and go there. And he has to go. Stand up, Brother Al. See how I said it to him and he stood up. Sit down, Brother Al. Your words got some authority. Your words got power. All you got to do is say what thus saith the Lord. He said, I say. See, the devil want to keep you from saying. He want to keep your mouth closed. But do anybody have boldness enough to say, I'm going to start saying it? Does anybody have the audacity enough to say, I'm going to start speaking it? I'm going to go around my house. I'm going to walk around my house and start talking to what's in my house. All disruption in my home. I'm speaking. You got to go. You can't remain here. All this argument and strife. You got to go. You can't remain here. All this dysfunction on this. You got to go. You can't remain here. I'm going to talk to them children. You disobedient children. You don't have to go, but you got to start obeying. In the name of Jesus. You got to speak the word. You got to say what thus saith the Lord. What God said. His word still has power. He said to that centurion, he said, wow. That centurion said, look here, I understand you. He said, I got a revelation. I know I'm a Gentile, but I know more than them church folk. Sometimes sinners can understand God more than some of us can. You know, we get so religious and we try to find it all out. He said, it's just simple to me. It ain't nothing so deep to it. It ain't got to be some deep revelation. You know, Paul said to one church, one people, he said, I see you. I look at you. You too spiritual. You too superstitious. He said, when I came to you, I seen your superscription that said to the unknown God. He said, you too superstitious. See, some of us, we get so caught up and want to find some new revelation, some new thing. It's just simple. Just believe God and say what God said. It's just a real simple gospel. What that centurion understood, that it was just something simple. It was just something simple. He said, look here, I understand the authority. He said, I'm a man under authority. And all of us can say the same thing. You don't have to be the centurion. You got children? Raise your hand. All right. You understand it. You tell your child, go in there and clean that room. You don't need them saying, no, I ain't going to do it. No, you let them know, look here, I'm the authority here. When I say go, that means get to going. Don't ask no questions, just go. Get up, it's time to go to school. Be laying here. They got to get up. Come here. You know, when your little kid puts something in your mouth, come here, what's in your mouth? That's what the Lord said. Come here, what's in your mouth? Is my word in there? Come here. What's in your mouth? What you got in your mouth? Come here. Boy, what's in your mouth? And you got to say, Lord, the word is in my mouth. That's what's in there. What's in your mouth? Look at somebody and say, what's in your mouth? What's in your mouth? It's the word in your mouth. You got to speak what the word says. So, thank you, Jesus. So that centurion, thank you, Lord. That centurion said, I understand. I understand what authority is. The Lord said, wow, this is, if you amaze Jesus, you're doing something. I mean, if Jesus look at you and say, wow. Don't you want Jesus to look at you and say, wow. Man, that's what the Lord does when you come to church, when you've been struggling and you've been fighting and you've been battling and you come to church and you raise your hands, you say, Lord, I love you. I know the battle is tough. I know the heat is on right through here. I love you anyway. I praise you. Like Job said, all of my appointed days, I'm going to wait here till my change come. I'm going to be giving you praise, Lord. That's when the Lord looks down from heaven and he says, wow, wow, something about that brother. Wow, there's faith in him. Well, that's what the Lord said to the centurion. He said, my God, I've not found so great a faith. No, not in the church. No, not in Israel. My chosen people don't have this type of faith. He said, but you got that faith. The centurion said, all you got to do is speak the word and my servant will be healed. The Lord told us, he said, all you got to do is say the word and a mountain got to go. It's got to go. It's got to be removed and cast into the sea. Let's read the rest of that since it's up there. Y'all see it. It said, and shall not what? Doubt. In his heart. Let's go ahead and break it down. You have the propensity in your flesh to do one thing. Doubt. It's a part of the human nature. That Adamic nature would do nothing but disbelieve. It is not going to believe God. You say, what are you talking about? A miracle has to be believed through your spirit. Because the natural mind cannot comprehend that. The fact that somebody is on their deathbed and every doctor gave them a death sentence, but all of a sudden somebody says they're going to live. Your natural mind can't comprehend that. So the only way we can have no doubt, the word has to press doubt out. The more you get the word, the more doubt is eliminated. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. The more word, the less I doubt. The more word, the less I doubt. I'll start believing God. But shall believe those things which he what? Which he what? Saith. Now, he didn't say believe those things which he say. See, I like the King James Version myself. I mean, some people might say, well, I don't understand it. I like the NIV and the, you know. Well, then go ahead. You read whatever. But me, myself, I like the King James Version. Because there's something on that TH that you're going to miss in the NIV. There's a reason that TH is on there. So the NIV, they're not putting that on there because some translator just felt like there was no need for it. He needed the Holy Ghost. But anyway, that there was a reason they had the TH on there. That means continue to say. Saith means I'm going to keep saying. I'm going to keep saying. Saith, keep saying. If it don't come to pass today, I'm going to keep saying. I'm going to keep on saying it. I'm going to speak that word till it come to pass. That's what I like about it. There's a man of God that is a real prominent in my life, a great man of God. And he'll prophesy a thing, and you say it don't come to pass, but watch out. That man will keep prophesying that until it happened. He'll speak that word until it happened. And that's what Elijah did. When that rain didn't come, he told Gehazi, that servant, keep on going out there. Keep on going out there. See, that's what we got to do. Keep on saying it. Keep on saying it. Keep on saying it. If you keep saying it, if you keep saying what thus saith the Lord, it's going to happen. He saith, it shall, not it might, but it shall, somebody scream, it shall. It shall come to pass. It's going to happen. What you've been talking about, it's going to happen. Look at somebody say, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I've been saying it for you. It's going to happen. I've been saying it for you. I've been saying it for you. It's going to happen. Your body going to be healed. Your mind going to get regulated. Your bills going to be paid. Good God Almighty, the church going to be filled. I've been saying it. I'm going to keep on saying it until it happens. I'm going to keep on saying it until God do it. I'm going to keep on saying it. God's going to do what he said he's going to do. Gonna do what he said he gonna do. Woo! Sister, I feel like giving the Lord a run like you do. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna give him a run. I'm gonna give him a run. I'm gonna give him a faith run. You said, what are you doing? God told me to run. I'm giving him a run today. I believe God is gonna be according to what he said. And I'm gonna say what thus saith the Lord. I'm gonna speak what God said. What God tell me, I'm gonna say it. How do you think this church got built? I was here. Despise not the days of small beginning, but better the end of the matter than the beginning thereof. So, Davis, I remember the small church. Brother Davis, you remember I'll come and we would knock over the drums and the chairs. Because you know it's about this much room. And you get to shout too much, some chairs gotta go. So y'all just knock them over. I mean, people be falling out, chairs falling down. We're like, Lord, well, bless them, Jesus. If it's the Holy Ghost, they won't get hurt. But y'all was there. But the Lord spoke to the woman of God and said, I'm going to knock walls down. I'm going to build. I'm going to expand. It didn't happen overnight, did it? But she kept saying it. She kept saying it. She kept saying it, and then God sent a young preacher named Brother David, and he got with Sister Davis, and he starts saying it. Hallelujah. Then God sent another preacher here, and they start saying it. See, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. But God gave her the vision, and she spoke it. She kept speaking it, even when people doubted, and I know they did. Even when people doubted and said it can't happen, but it don't matter what people say. Let God be true, and every man a lie. If God said it, that's what I believe in. Keep saying what thus saith the Lord. Your children might be out there on crack. They might be drunks. They might be in the streets. But keep saying, my kids going to be saved. They going to be delivered. Keep speaking the word of God over them. Somewhere, they might come into church crawling. But God going to bring them in. God going to draw them in. God going to get them. Did he get you? Did God draw you? If God drew you, he can still draw them. He said, is that possible? Was it possible for him to get you? He put a hook in your jaw and you flopped around. You know, he was trying to reel you in and you fought it real good. But once the Lord put that hook in you, you can flop all you want. The Lord is real patient. He's a good fisherman. Jesus would just sit there. You flop that way, Jesus pole. Keep on flopping. Keep on flopping. And every time you move,
You're coming closer and closer. Before you know it, you got in here. Some of your children, they just flopping one way and the other. But that spiritual pole is out there. And the Lord knows what he's doing. And God going to draw me in. Don't worry about it. I remember Sister Davis praying for all her girls. And look at what God is doing. Look at how God has saved. Look at how God has sanctified. Look at how God is filled with the Holy Ghost. Not only them, but then the grandchildren coming in. Oh, God, thank you. Hallelujah. God is still in the soul-saving business. He's still in the delivering business. But we got to keep on saying what thus saith the Lord. Listen. So, it'll be removed. But you can't doubt. That centurion didn't doubt. And the Lord told me this while I was standing up. I was over there. I wrote it down. He said, my word is the decree of a king. He said, then he said, my word is the decree of the king, the king of kings and the lord of lords. He said, it is a decree. You know, when a king makes a decree in biblical times, that was it. Y'all remember in the time of, what's his name, Ahasuerus? I can't hardly say the name. Ahasuerus. And Vashti wouldn't do right. And he made a decree. When he made that decree, it was over. It couldn't be changed. And they knew that. Even at the time of Daniel, when the decree was made, that was it. Well, guess what? When God make a decree, it's over with. If God decree you healed, I don't care. All the devils in hell could try to stand up against that. When God say it, it's got to happen, sister. When God speak a thing, you ain't got to worry about, I wonder. If God decree something, when he decreed the ordinances in the sky, when he made the light to shine, when he caused the sun to shine, it wasn't, I wonder if the sun will keep shining. Is it still shining? He made that decree millions of years ago. Yes, he did. Somebody said, well, it was 6,000 years. I'm under the assumption, I don't know how long Adam was on this earth. All I can say, it was a long time ago that God spoke light, and it's still light, 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 light. Even this morning, light, light. Well, if God is speaking light in the earth, he's still speaking light over your life. He's still speaking healing, deliverance, whatever you need. The decree has gone out. But you know what you got to do? You got to take the king's decree. Say, okay, the king said. The king said, I'm healed. The king said, all of my needs are supplied according to his riches and glory. He got riches in glory. He said, every one of them. I ain't got to worry about one of them. Okay, if he's my king, he ain't just my king. He's my daddy. You know, because some people say he's my king, but see, is he your dad? Is he your father? See, he's not only my king, he's my father. So I'm royalty. And so since he got everything, whatever he got belongs to me. So he ain't stressing. I ain't gonna stress him. There is no blessing in my stressing. There is no reason for me to be walking around here stressed out. I wonder how I'm going to get it. Yo, daddy got all the money. What are you talking about? You wonder how you're going to get it, how your bill's going to get paid. You say, I wonder how I'm going to get healed, what doctor I'm going to use, which is the best. Yo, doctor is Jesus. He's the greatest physician you know. What are you talking about? He made the heart. He made the kidneys. He made the liver. He made the gallbladder. He made it all. If he made it, can't he fix it? Can't he? If he got to take it out and put a new one in there, he's able to do it. What can God not do? So we got to. I like that. He can't fail. That's what he can do. So it's the decree of a king. We got to say it. There was a woman, throw this in there. There was a woman who had a son. And her son was a blessing to her because she didn't ask for it. She just decided that she would bless the man of God as he kept coming by the way. So the man of God said, I want you to ask her. She, every time we come by here, she always blessing us, you know, putting us up in Fairfield Inn Suites every time I come by here. Some of y'all didn't catch that. Every time it come in, it's just a blessing. She said, I wanted to ask her, what she need? Well, you know, I noticed that there weren't no kids running around here. She didn't have no children. Oh, so she can get a son. So he said, about this time, next year or whatever, you're going to have a baby. Well, she had that baby, and the blessing she had did what? Died. God has blessed some of us, but our blessings died. What we had seemed to dwindle away. But there came a time that woman got some boldness about herself. She said, you know, I'm tired of sitting up here pouting, upset, frustrated, wondering why I'm broke and I don't have nothing, I don't have no joy. She said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to the man of God. She told him, she said, look here, get in this horse and carriage, whatever they had back there. She said, you ride and you don't slack for me. I don't care how bumpy the ride get, you go. Well, the servant seen her far away. I said, ain't that that woman who had that baby? They ran to her and said, look here, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? She said, it's well. Didn't she say that? Yes. But she knew it was well with her husband. He was still alive. It was well with her because she was still there. You know, she's alive and well. But see, this is the kicker. What about the dead boy? Is it well with your son? Look at what she proclaimed. She said, it's well. She said, I know what it looked like. I know what it looked like, Brother Al, but it's well. See, I'm wondering, can some of us say in the midst of a dead situation, it's well. It's well. It's well. I know it looked real bad, but it's well. I'm saying what God already told me. It's well. In other words, it's going to be all right. I'm coming out of this. The old saints used to have a saying, hallelujah. Anyhow, don't let the devil get you down. So you got to say hallelujah anyhow. You got to say it's well with me. It's well. The doctors give you a bad diagnosis and they come, you come out of that hospital saying, well, they said it looks bad right now. Well, you got to raise your hand and say it's well with me. My body is well. My mind is well. My finances is well. My husband is well. My children is well. You got to speak what God said over your life. It's well. Somebody scream as well. Once the Lord began to put his word in us, Brother Al, we're ordered by it. We live by that. David said, order my steps. His word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. We got to live by the word. Walk by it. Every day you wake up, word should be coming out your mouth. Word should be coming out your mouth. Because the devil want to put all that negativity in your mouth. The Bible said, talked about the tongue, how such a little member kindles such a great fire. It's a world of iniquity. That little member, that tongue, is just, it's a world of iniquity. Well, if the tongue is a world of iniquity in the sinner's mouth, then it's got to be a world of righteousness and life in our mouth. So the same way it could bring damnation to some, it's got to bring life out of us. That's why I said life and death is in the power of your tongue. What you going to say about it? See, that's what the sinner wondering. What you going to say about it? Oh, Brother Al, I know you're a preacher. What you going to say about it? See, they looking at you saying, I heard the brother say about Brother Al when he come to church or come to work, where church is, work is church for y'all. But when he come to work, he said, Brother Al is a man of God for real. See, you look at a lot of Christians, they ain't Christians for real because they ain't saying what God said. Man, they go to the job, look like there's going to be a bunch of layoffs. Well, I guess we're going to have to find a new job, Larry. I guess we're not going to make it through this time. I guess we're going to get laid off. I'll just have to draw my unemployment. No, what did God say? If God told you you have power to speak his word, you could change the whole situation around. I told them people on my job, I said, the only way reason y'all employed because I'm here anyway. I said, that's the only reason y'all employed. Y'all need to be thanking God for a man of God here. This place would have been shut down a long time ago if I hadn't stepped in the building.
Some of y'all scared to say it, but it's true. Man, this world would collapse if it wasn't for you. If it wasn't for the Christians in this earth, God would have wiped this thing off a long time ago. But because you here, still quoting his word, still speaking his word, still saying what he said, I will hold back my wrath.
His word. You still speaking it. What he said. He said, whatsoever you bind on earth, bound in heaven, whatsoever you loose on earth, be loosed in heaven. Whatsoever you say, what you saying about it? I told him, I said, look, ain't nothing going to happen until if I say something different on my job, I said, it'll happen. I said, I'm following the Lord's lead, but if he had me to say something different, it'll happen. But until he had me to say something different, it'll be all right. Because he told me that. Give y'all a little testimony. I'm finna close. Give y'all a little testimony. Can I give y'all two testimonies? Can I give y'all three testimonies? Look, my job, I came in, as some of y'all know my history, I had a felony on my record. I wasn't a bad person, but I got caught up in some bad things. You know how evil communication corrupts good men? That's what happened to me. I had good manners, but I got corrupt because I was hanging around evil people. And I became evil, doing some bad things. So I got caught up in a mess and got a felony on my record. And this is why I was in college. And before I knew it, I got kicked out of college, and I had almost finished. And scholarship had been taken from me. And I got back to Sparta, and things looked real bad. Couldn't pay child support, couldn't pay my bills. I mean, I was just bad. But at least I was saved. I mean, I had that in my corner. And actually, that's all I needed. And, well, I come back to Sparta, and I, real bad situation, didn't have a dime to my name. And so I start working for some temporary services because, you know, nobody wants to hire anybody with a felony on their record. And so I start working at temporary services, and then I start working for this temporary service that was a temporary service to the job that I currently work at. And the job actually was just for a short term. Wasn't supposed to be long term. Well, I got in there and start working, and the boss, the plant manager, I work at Baldwin Power Plant, by the way. He's seen that, you know, hard work, diligence, and he said, keep working hard. There might be a chance for you to get on full time. So I talked to some other full-time workers there. You know, we have a union. And they said, there is no way. Nobody has ever been hired from a temporary service. They don't do that. I said, well, things about to change. I said, see, that's what God do. He do what it never has been done. Well, I'm here now. Things is about to change. Sure enough, about a year later, they sent an envelope down to the trailer I was in. They said, we'd like to hire you on full time. And the payment was double what I was making for the temporary service. I'm not going to tell you what that was. But it was double what that payment was, what I was getting paid. And they said, well, when can you start? Do you want the job? I said, are you kidding? Yes, I want the job. I said, I could start right now. Well, when I got home, I came back to work the next day. They said, we are sorry to inform you. Your background check came back. And it said you got a felony. And I said, oh. I said, that was me back then. I'm a new man. They don't really care about the new creature in Christ. They're not saying, well, that gives us a reason to hire you now. But I told them, I said, and make a long story short, I said, can I talk to the plant manager? They said, sure. And I went there, and God worded my mouth, and I spoke to him. He said, you know, I'm going to push for you to get this job. And as I was walking out of that door, the Lord spoke to me. He said, the pushing don't go no further than him. He's the one that hires and fires. If he said, I'm going to push for you to get the job is yours.
Hallelujah. Well, the next day, they called me. They said, the job is yours. We're first one to ever be hired with a felony on the record. Hallelujah. First one to ever be hired from a temporary service. Hallelujah. You can't tell me what God won't do, what he can't do. And my dad prophesied to me out there. He said, it ain't done, son. They're going to keep on blessing you. Before I knew it, I started moving up the ladder. And I got to the top where you can't move up anymore. And, you know, I was working these swing shifts. I was telling Brother Al about it. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, and many miracles had happened during this time. And I said, Lord, I said, look, I want to preach on every Sunday. I said, I don't want to be missing any Sundays. We have prayer service at night. I'm tired of missing these prayer services. I said, I need time to be at the church. And I kept praying about it. And, you know, you pray about something and it seemed like you forget that, you know, you prayed about something. You sit it out there. You say, well, maybe it'll come to pass. You know, have you ever done that? And I prayed and kept praying and let it go. And all of a sudden, this was about a year and a half ago. All of a sudden, now I'm thinking I'm at the top where I can't go no higher. There was a letter came out that said we need 4 group leaders. And it was just, the job is not even in the union book. It's a created job. Y'all don't. Yeah. I said it's a created job. See, that's what God does. He creates a position. He creates opportunity. Hallelujah. He created an opportunity. And so 4 jobs came out. I said, well, Lord, I'll try for them. I said, but I know I'm low man on the totem pole in seniority. I'm up to the top, but I'm the low man because I was hired. You know, I'm talking people got been there 35 years. Some of them 40 years. I've been there 15 years. So they've been there double me. And 4 positions. The top 3 positions was filled by the people with the highest seniority. 1 position left. Y'all guess who got that? Yeah. Hallelujah. The rest of the people turned it down. Why you think they turned it down? Because it was created just for me. What God has for me, it is for me. What God has for you, it is for you. I just kept speaking the word over it, and God brought it to pass. Not only did they give me straight days, I work Monday through Thursday. I go to work 5:45 a.m. I get off at 3:45 p.m. Monday through Thursday. And then they gave me a $3 raise. I said, Lord, I thought I was at the top. He made them give me some more money. I said, ain't that like God? I said, but you got to keep on speaking the word. You got to keep on saying what God. It might look like it's impossible, but the Bible says he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. I'm going to end with this testimony. But says we got to start speaking God's word. We got to start saying what God said. Man, especially in this time we live in, this economy is so rocky, you don't know what's getting ready to happen. We don't know, man, this next presidency, we don't know, and I know this is streaming, but I don't care. Hillary Clinton, we don't want her in office. Somebody said, well, why not? It ain't got nothing to do with her being a woman. Her policies are evil. If you know anything about her, I know something about her. She used to be the governor's wife of Arkansas. I lived in Arkansas. I used to get an article called A People for a Better Government. She proposed back then that little kids get chips put in them if they got lost. So they wouldn't be lost. She proposed it back. What do you think she's going to propose now? Huh? And it's the same way. And then Donald Trump, Lord help us. He want to ship some of us back somewhere. I don't know where. I ain't gonna say where. Lord help us. We need God. We need to be able to decree the word of our King. to say what God said. God can change everything around. I don't care how it looks right now. If you and I start speaking the word, God gonna watch over his word to perform it. And I'm his word. He said heaven and earth would pass away, but my word is gonna stand. I'm the word of God in the earth. You're the word of God in the earth. The Bible says you are epistles known and read of all men. You are.
So God gonna watch over his word. My father, late Pastor Edward Richardson, whom you all know very well, most of you, some of you don't, but the greatest man of God that I know in my life, had the most influence. And before he passed, God had spoke to him about expanding the church and building on. And adding a fellowship hall and different things that he wanted to see happen, even with his children being saved. God had spoken to him. Well, God, had, after he passed, about 2 years into my pastoralship of Road to Life Church, I just felt prompted, unctioned by the Spirit of the Lord to expand. And some of the people at the church was opposed to it, but I felt it so strong. I said, Lord, I'm going to obey this. Well, I went to the bank. One banker was giving me problems. The banker who we had banked with for the duration of the whole time that we've been there, he's given us issue. And I told him, I said, well, I don't need you. There's other banks around here that we can go to. You know, some bankers think they got the power to. There's too many people around here. So I told him, I said, I'll go to Pinckneyville and they'll give me the money. And I came back. And the banker seen me at the post office and said, David, why did you come back and can we discuss more? I said, no, you turned me down. He said, I'm so sorry. Please come back. I think we can work it out now. I said, I'm not here to play games with you. So I was getting all types of problems trying to get the money. Then the city had an ordinance that you could only build so far. You know how they do, close to the property, adjacent to your property. I don't know how it is here. But it was 10 feet, and so it was just giving us all time. I said, well, Lord, I was trying to build south, and I couldn't build to the west. And I was like, what in the world? What's going on? Maybe, Lord, this is not your will. And one day I was in the church praying, and Brother Al, I put in an old tape of my father preaching. And in that tape, he was preaching, and he began to prophesy and began to speak. And he said, the Lord said, build east. The Lord said, build east. Mind you, he hadn't built anything. He hadn't done anything. My father had. But he said, the Lord said, build east. And I said, build east. Build east. So I went back to the contractor, went back to the city. They said, oh, yeah, you can build east. I said, sure, yeah, that's no problem. Build it. See, the Lord had already spoke. See, he real particular. He didn't say build south. He didn't say build north. He didn't say build west. He had already spoke build east. And once I made up in my mind, I heard him say build east. Everything just flowed just perfectly. From that point, the church got built, added on to. Fellowship Hall got built up. But what happened, the word had already been spoken to my father. See, God ain't going to let his word fall to the ground. You might leave here and go into heaven, but God going to make sure his word comes to pass. See, God's word has commanded to 1,000 generations. And when he said it, I said, my Lord, your word keeps on going like that. Lord said, everything I told your father is going to happen. He said, everything I told your father's mother is going to happen. It's going to happen. Everything God says, see, if God ever says something, he's going to bring, especially to those that have been faithful, he's going to bring it to pass. He got his timing. How he going to do it? But he's going to make sure it happens. So the Lord told me to tell you today, speak my word. Say what I say. Stop saying what you think about it. How you feel about it. What did I say? I feel sick. I didn't say that. I feel weak. I didn't say that. God says, what did I say? There's power in your words. There's power in what you say. God has given you his word. The Bible said, write the vision and make it plain. Start speaking the vision. Start saying what God said. You want opportunities? You want things to come to pass? Start speaking it. God, I proclaim, I decree right now,
saved souls, deliverance, healed bodies. I decree it right now. I decree it, no more depression, no more oppression. I decree it. We don't have to say, well, it's just a trial. You ain't have to always feel like you got to go through every time you leave church. Devil got to get on your back and I've got to, it's just my trial. No, I'm victorious. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. I'm victorious. Bow your heads with me today, would you? I'm finished. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, you said you exalted your word above your name. God, your word is powerful. Your word is liberating. Your word frees us. God, I know, Lord, this word today, God, is an inspirational one. But, Lord, it would do nothing at all if we don't take it and apply it. If we don't start doing what the word says do. Lord, my prayer today is that you would do it. Put it in us. Help us, Lord, to live by it. To live by what you're telling us. God, you said man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord thy God. Lord, you told me that that life, your word is life-giving, and that life we live, your word allows us to live a fulfilled life, a life full of joy and peace. God, a life full of power. In the name of Jesus, God, let it be so. Father, in the name of Jesus, move for my brother right now. In the name of Jesus, God, by your power and by your anointing, according to your word, God, bless him. Stir him up. Excite his soul. In the name of Jesus. God, by your power. Hallelujah. God going to allow you to be a witness, my brother. Going to use your mouth to talk to other young men. Your desire has been to be a witness. And I see God really stirring you up and causing some young men to cross your pathway to liberate them, to free them. For the trials that you've been through and the struggle of life that you've been faced with has given you a testimony. And even now, the struggle and the battle you're in, I see God liberating and freeing and giving you what you need to make it not only for yourself, but to be a testimony. God, in the name of Jesus, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. He said it to you, my brother. He's going to make it good. He's speaking it in the name of Jesus. He moves by the power of his anointing upon you right now. And God even gives you a greater understanding of the word, reveals the knowledge and wisdom. I hear the Lord say, come aside and seek me in prayer and fasting. Search me out, and I, the Lord, will visit you and give you what you need and direct you. And guide you and even lift you up and encourage your heart. I see you need some guidance, some direction. The word of the Lord is going to direct you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's going to order your steps. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I see you're going to be like God is putting you like that tree planted beside the water that can't be moved. For the enemy has done everything he can to cause you to be like a kind of wishy-washy, I see, but God is stabilizing you, giving you good foundation in the name of Jesus. God, by the power of your anointing, is so according to your divine word, God moves for you right now. Somebody give God praise. Hallelujah. 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 Bless her today, Lord. Bless my sister, Lord. God, in the name of Jesus, bless her, Lord. God, let your word come to pass. Let your word come to pass in our life, God. Every promise of God is yes and amen by you, my sister. I hear the Lord saying, just say yes to it. Just say yes to his promises. Yes to his word. Yes to what he told you. In the name of Jesus, your labor has come up before God. God has seen your faithful labor. God going to bless you for it. He's not going to forget your labor of love. In the name of Jesus. It's not that you ask for anything. I said, it's not that you ask for it, But God going to bless you anyway. He's going to move for you in the name of Jesus. And I see not only that, you got a condition in your body. You need God to touch you and to move for you right now in the name of Jesus. God, by the power of your anointing, God, I speak the word right now over her body. And I ask you to heal, make whole by the power of your... God makes you whole right now. By his stripes, you're healed. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It's so right now. Somebody give God praise. Come on and give God praise.